Well, let's do a couple of things. Let's go to the book of Malachi. It's the last book in the Old Testament, right before Matthew. It should be very easy to find. If you need a Bible, there should be one under your chair, I think. Or if you're at home, make sure that you get up and go get a Bible. Don't just let me chew the food for you. We want you to be in the Word of God for yourself so that you can learn and grow and be strengthened in Jesus' name. We are in the book of Malachi. It's God's wake-up call during these weird, weird, bizarre times when good things are being called evil and evil things are being called good. It's crazy. It's like the whole world is going upside down. And everything is culture, the media, the news is all trying to push you in general one direction in your thinking, in your speaking, in your life, in your actions, and it's the wrong way. Jesus wants you to go against the flow, to go against the mainstream and what they're saying. God wants you to follow him, to seek him, to know him, to be immovable, unshakable in these difficult times. And you can't do that unless you are plugged into him, plugged into his word, plugged into fellowship, plugged into the Holy Spirit, plugged in with other believers. We need one another. We need him. We need his word. And it's so easy to just put this on the couch, on the side, and just leave it and wait till Sunday, isn't it? It's so easy to turn on other stuff. Hey, I could be listening to teachings right now. You know what? I could be listening. You know what? If you want to listen to audio teachings, I will give you any book of the Bible. Not just reading it. I will give you teachings verse by verse through any book of the Bible you want. For your phone, for your computer, whatever you want. Even on CD, if that's how you do it, if it's a little older school like me. However you do it. If you want a devotional through the Bible, here's a couple of them. I'm going to put them right up here. It'll take you through the New Testament with some Old Testament verses and some helps from, folks like Beth Moore and Franklin Graham, Billy Graham. I'm going to put it right up here. You can take them as a free gift in Jesus' name, or all the folks that are watching at home. All you have to do is to text myself, Pastor Darren, or Pastor Gary. We'll be happy to get that to you free as a gift in Jesus' name. We just want you to grow. But like in Malachi's time, people were putting God aside. They just didn't have time for him. Just like today. And that was the last time God's bringing his judgment and he's begging his people. He's saying, I love you. This is the last time God speaks in the before the New Testament, 400 years. Okay? And 55 of these verses, of the 55 verses in Malachi, 47 verses are by him directly to the people. We know that there was a famine in that day of hearing. And that word is Shema. Remember, it means listening, but it also means understanding and obeying, like there is now. And God was trying to warn them, just like he's trying to warn us right here, right now. Turn around, go the wrong, opposite direction. Follow me, because I love you. And he's telling the people, he's telling the priests, he's telling me, he's like, guys, I love you, I love you. And they're responding to him in a snarky way. These priests, these pastors, these leaders, the people, they're like, how have you loved us, Lord? And they're treating God with contempt. He's coming to them. He's loving them. He's saying, how have we shown contempt for your name? How have we defiled your name? And we talked about like a father, that God is trying to give instructions to his children, to us, and they're not listening. And how God wants us to give our first fruits to him. This is not a cry for money. Of course, we're happy to take that. Put it in the tithe box. Wonderful. Or give online. That's wonderful. But that's not what this is about. God wants your heart. He wants your life in these sacrifices. And back in those days, they were offering nasty. Instead, God wanted the best of the first of your crops or the first of your harvest. And people were giving him the junk. They were giving him the leftovers. And God doesn't want your leftovers. He wants you. He wants the best that you have to give him. He's made you. He's created you for a purpose. He wants us to bring the first fruits. And we talked about what we can sacrifice now as priests, our time, our energy, our talents, our finances, our ability, our service. We can serve companies just fine. We can serve our home just fine. We can serve businesses. But are we serving the Lord? And so we talked about that. And they kept butting heads with God and refusing that discipline instead of being blessed by it. And instead of receiving it, they despised that discipline and that chastening. And God finally got to the point that just says, hey, why don't you just shut the temple doors? It would be better. Why don't you just lock them so that none of you can play this religion game, which is silly, empty-headed worship. I'm not pleased. Listen, if you're here today and you're just sitting here and you're not paying attention, can I just say something? Why are you here?
Mommy made you be here.
Mommy, Daddy made you be here. You know what? Man, God forgive us. Now, we can all have that heart once in a while, can't we? But we better repent of that now more than ever. Or somebody dragged us. And they were saying, God, all your stuff, your commands are burdensome. And listen, God's loving God means keeping his commandments. And they're not burdensome. They're a blessing. They're guardrails, if you will, for our life, for our thinking, for our words. But they didn't want to listen then, and I don't think we want to listen now. And God wants our heart, because where our treasure is, there your heart will be. Listen, if your treasure is in your job, I mean, if that's where you're spending all, that's where your heart's going to be. God wants your heart. Listen, loving your family is wonderful, but loving the Lord needs to come first. If you love the Lord, you're going to love your family like you should, or your husband or your wife. You're going to be that good friend that you're supposed to be. You're going to be that godly influence that he wants you to be, but it comes with him first. We need to treasure him above all else. He's the priority. He's the first fruits. So as we start, we're in Malachi chapter 2. Let's dig in and see what God has for us. So join me as we start in chapter 2. The first verse says, "And now this admonition is for you, priests." Now I have to say something right here, right off the bat in verse 1. Now as we read this, God's going to go down a list of things to where he's challenging them on stuff, and they don't want to be challenged, kind of like today. I was with a 30-year-old man at the men's group, and we were sitting out here, and he's like, "I've known you for a long time," and he said, "You know, one of the things we were talking about," he's like, "your church, one of the things that we spoke about was," he was saying, "if you would just," I'm not using the exact words, I'm paraphrasing it, what was said, "if you just..." What happened was somebody asked a question, and another person, and he said, "Can you tell me the truth?" And I said, and the other person said, "Oh, be careful what you ask for with Pastor Darren." And he's like, "Well, I just want the truth." And he's like, he said, "How long have you known Pastor Darren?" And he said, "Yeah, well, not long." And he's like, "Well, I've known him for about a decade. And let me tell you something, if you're going to ask for truth, you better brace yourself, because you're going to get it." And then he said, we started talking, and he said, "You know, your church would be packed out," he said, "if you just wouldn't," how do I phrase it the right way? "If you just wouldn't speak the truth so much." And he wasn't saying it in a mean way. He was just saying it in a truthful way. He said, "It would be packed if you just wouldn't do that." And honestly, can I just be blunt honest? He's really right. He is right. But then, to be honest, if I did that, and I'd have all the praise for me, none of it would be really for the Lord. And I'd be just like these priests and these pastors that we're going to read about. I'd be a Pharisee. Ugh. I don't want to be that. I want to be right with the Lord. Don't you? So listen, that's a choice I can't make for you. I want to, but I can't. You have to make it. I have to make it. But it says in verse 1, this is an admonition for you, priests. And so an admonition, those, for those of you guys who don't know, that's kind of like an authoritative warning. Okay, so God's saying, I've got an admonition for you. I've got a command, authoritative command. Actually, the word in Hebrew is mitzvah. Okay, it means like command. Has anybody ever been to a bar mitzvah? Okay, yeah. You know what? Okay, bar mitzvah. Okay, bar just means son. Mitzvah means commands. So what happens at a bar mitzvah, I think it's, you guys can correct me if you guys have been there, you would know better than me. But we've seen this when we were in Israel, and they come out with the Torah, and it's kind of like a celebration. It's kind of a coming of age where the Jewish boy becomes a man at about the age of 13, where he's allowed to read the Torah, participate in the community and the church things and whatnot. And he becomes, it's kind of like a coming of age, he becomes the son of the commandments, right? So this word mitzvah, he's saying, and now this mitzvah, this command, this warning is for you priests. Now listen, we can hear that and say, oh, well, this is just for priests, pastors, ministers, Bible study leaders. I don't need to pay attention. I can shut down. Wrong. Because right now in the New Testament, God says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. If you are saved, God has called you. He has ordained you. You are a royal priesthood. You just don't realize it fully yet. God has called you out of the darkness into the light. He has called you to be a priest, to serve him. You're a holy nation. It says that you're his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. You are a priest. So this is just as applicable right now as we read this stuff. Don't shut down. It's for you. Look, it says, and this admonition is for you. I've got you underlined. So take it to heart. Hear what God is saying. Verse 2 continues, and he says this. He says, if you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, then I will send curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings. Dang. That's a little brutal. But he has spoken and 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 spoken, and folks are shut down. They're just not listening. They're not taking it to heart. I don't know about you, but in verse 2, I have if circled. Okay, if you do that kind of thing, can I just ask you? I would circle it. I would highlight it. Because he's saying, if you don't listen. There's a lot of if-thens in the Bible. Did you know that? It's kind of like a conditional promise from the Lord. He will say something like, if you do this, then I'll do this. If you do not do this, then I will do this. And so in the Bible, it's filled with these promises when God was saying if and then. For example, I like to give everything a biblical. When it says in 2 Chronicles, everybody knows this verse, 2 Chronicles 7:14. So this is why I use this one, where it says, if my people who are called by my name, and it goes on from there. You guys remember that? Okay. There's the promise. If my people who are called by my name, and he's going to continue, the next portion is the action. And this is the response, what we have to do. Okay? Right? If you'll do this, okay, and here's the action, humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. And then look at what this says right here. And here's the reward. Then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Promise, action, reward. If, then. Does that make sense? Okay. A lot of people just want, know what they want? They want the promise. I don't want to do no action. I just like the promise part. I just like the blessings. I'm going to go to Wendy's, and I'd like one big promise of the Lord, please. But when I go to pay, I don't have any money. What do you think Wendy's is going to do when you go and get that Frosty? Do you think they're going to dump all the... Do they make you pay first, in a sense? You know what I'm saying? There's an action. There's a response. Even with salvation, the Bible says as many as received him, right? There was an action. To them he gave the right to become children of God. Then came the reward. I'm saved. Hallelujah. Everybody wants the promises without the actions. Oh God, if that's you right now, forgive me, Lord, and change my heart and mind. If then, throughout the scriptures, it says, if, in verse 2, if you do not listen, if you do not listen, can you imagine if we lived in a time when people really wouldn't listen to the word of God? Or wouldn't that be crazy? We do live in that time. Thank you. Just like then, paralleling, people don't really listen to the word of God. Now listen, I'm gonna hear me now. If in the verse 2 it says, if you do not listen, do you guys remember it's the same Hebrew word? What Hebrew word is listen in? What is it? Shema, remember? And that means to hear, to understand, and to obey. So when God says listen, he just doesn't mean come and sit and hear some nice Bible talk and then you go. He means he wants you to hear it, to understand what's being said, and then to go out and live it, to make it an action. Okay? Listen, this is a scene. People go to church for lots of reasons. People go to church. Let me ask you a question. Maybe not you guys, but why do people, other than to hear the word of the Lord, why do people go to church? What?
Feel
to feel good. Why else? What? Feel good. Can I just ask you a question? Is that God-centered or self-centered?
Self-centered.
Right. Why else?
Socialize.
Right. Hey, they're lonely. I get that. God wants us to fellowship, but if that's why you're going it, what's the reason? Is it God-centered or self-centered? Self-centered. I'm going to socialize for me. What else?
Business
reasons, right? I got to make connections, right? I got to go to a bigger church because I got to make more of my connections. Is that self-centered or God-centered? Self-centered. Why else? It's guilt, right? Clear their conscience. Connie, if I'm coming to church just to clear my conscience and perform some duty of guilt, let me ask you something. Is that God-centered or is that self-centered? Yes, I hear you. Who has the mic? Oh, here, Nehemiah, congratulations. You're now the mic runner. Run that back all the way back to Neely, quick as a bunny. Thank you. Yes.
Free childcare and coffee and treats.
Free coffee, right? Absolutely, right. Listen, there's nothing wrong with free childcare, right? Hallelujah. We got four boys. Believe me, we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for treats, okay? We're thankful for that too. But you know what? That's not the reason why we should come to church. It's not it. That's all self-centered. Listen, there's a verse in Ecclesiastes. It's the same word used here, Shema, remember? It means to hear, understand, and obey, okay? People don't mind to go listen to a teaching as long as they don't got to understand and obey it. It's in Ecclesiastes, and I thought this was the perfect picture. Ecclesiastes 5:1 starts off by saying, guard your steps when you come to the house of the Lord. In other words, get your heart right. Get your mind right. Listen, when you come here, you should be focusing on the Lord and others. When you come here, you should be thinking, and yes, I'm pointing at you because I know you better and I can trust you. I know you won't get mad at me. When you come here, Chris, you should be coming here because I want to hear the word of the Lord. And I want to be a blessing in his name to others. That's why all of us should be coming here. I want to serve him and I want to bless others because I'm called. I'm a priest. You're royal priesthood. But guard your steps because we're thinking of all these things. I'm thinking of what's going to happen afterwards, where we're going to eat, where we're going to hang out, how my rest, you know, a million things, right? Guard your mind, guard your heart. I would love, you know what would be really great? If all of us would get here early, me included. Hey, I'm up at 4:30. Anyway, but if we would be here for that prayer meeting, right? The power in prayer, wouldn't that be great? Guard your steps, focusing our hearts and minds on the Lord. Guard your steps when you're coming to the house of the Lord. Listen to some worship music. Maybe do that devotional even. Just the kids are screaming and this and that, whatever. Everything's going on. Guard your steps. Lord, I want to help me to focus on you. I can do this other stuff later. I can play the video game later. I can check my Instagram later. Guard your steps as you go to the house of God. Now, most people don't care. But God says, I want you, and you can listen or not. That's the neat thing about the Lord. You can listen or not listen. I'm begging you to listen. He says, go near to listen. Same word, Shema, hear, understand, obey. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who don't even know that they're doing wrong. I'm going to appease my guilt to conscience, put money in the coffers, be seen by people, whatever it is. And they're going in and, whoa! To me, that picture illustrates what's happening for most people today. I don't want that for you. God doesn't want that for you. In fact, he wants the opposite for you because he loves you. He's telling that you guys, if you do not listen, I've been speaking to you, if you do not listen, which they weren't doing, hearing, understanding, and obeying. And he goes on, Jesus put it a different way. And I kind of like this picture. I was going to ask Anthony, could maybe put this on a wall or something. But Matthew 11:15, Jesus would always say, he who has an ear, let him hear, right? In other words, if you come in to listen, to hear what God has to say to you, then you're gonna hear stuff. If you come and you don't really want it, you're gonna hear nothing. I ain't getting nothing from that teaching. That was what? Because you weren't listening. I saw a little cartoon that I liked that kind of illustrated that verse that I really liked, and it was this one. Now listen, we can all fall asleep, right? I have done it in awesome preaching and I've fallen asleep. So, but is that the norm for us right here? Are we thinking about other stuff? Are we focusing on what the Lord has for us? Listen, Mark 4:24 says this. He added, he goes, I want you to pay close attention to what you hear. There's so much junk out there. I folks on YouTube, listen, if you want good, solid teaching, ask me. Nothing would give me more joy than to provide you with materials at our cost. Nothing. Bibles, a little commentary through the New Testament. I gave Lester a little commentary, John Corson through the New Testament. Every time I see him, not every time, almost every time, I'm loving it. Oh, and he's telling me the stuff he's learning. Or Josh, when I gave him a bunch of teachings on CD through a book of the Bible, he was just blown away at what he grew so much. Listen, pay close attention to what you hear because if the foundation is not level, everything's going to be off. And it says, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive in more. So the more you listen, the more you hear, the more you understand, the more you obey, God's going to give you more. If you don't obey, if you're not willing to understand and listen, it's like you're turning off the faucet. But it says, listen, if you'll listen, you'll receive even more. It says in Luke Pay attention to how you hear. Sometimes we can come, right? And there are folks, and they're sitting here, right? Or they're sitting in the Bible studies, and they'll hear everything. But how they hear, if you went out and asked them, I said, what was that teaching about? Oh, was that a great teaching? Oh, it was a great teaching. I remember one time I got caught doing this. I was at a pastor's conference. It was about a decade ago. And there was a guy who I really enjoy, but his name's Gail Irwin. He wrote the book that some of you received from Pastor Gary. Jesus Style, thank you. So if you want that free book too, we'll give it to you. Anyway, and he's very animated. He's very fun to listen to, but I've heard him a lot, right? And so I listened to the teaching, and I was like, oh, that was a great teaching. That was a great teaching. And somebody said, hey, oh, that was good. Yeah, he was so animated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So what was the teaching about? This is directly after. Well, he was talking about the Bible. And God and Jesus. And abounding in love. I remember that. I wasn't really, be careful how you hear. Listen, and listen to this. For those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Listen, you want to treat this precious thing that God's giving you with contempt? Well, let me take some of it away from you and see how you do. How's things now? Let me take away a little bit more, you know? I don't want that. That's not a good place to be. He says in verse 2, he says, if you do not listen, and if, I got that circled again, you do not set your heart to honor my name. I'll say the one part first. You know, set your heart. I don't know if your Bible says the same thing. Set your heart to honor my name. When I look at that, when I think of something that's set, I think of something that's fixed. Do you know what I mean? Like, have you ever poured cement or concrete? You know what I mean? When it's going in, it's you can move it all around. You can, it's almost like a liquidy, rocky, liquidy thing. But once it sets, right, it ain't going nowhere. You can put bricks on top of each other and you can just push the whole thing over. But you put cement in between them. You wait till it sets, it is fixed, immovable. God is saying, I want you to set your heart on me. I want it fixed, immovable, unshakable. If your son goes the wrong way, your daughter goes the wrong way, your husband goes the wrong way, your company goes the wrong way, your pastor, God forbid in Jesus' name, goes the wrong way, the country goes the wrong way, you know what? That would be terrible. But my heart is set. Does that make sense? I can't do it for you. I can't do it for you. Only you and Jesus can make that decision. I want it to be set. And it says, do not set your heart, excuse me, if you do not set your heart to honor my name. That word honor in Hebrew, to honor my name, is the word kabod. And it literally means, that's the best way to put it, heavyweight, a weightiness, splendor, glory, the kabod. Okay, or the kabod, some people translate it, but in Hebrew. So what he's saying is, I want you to honor my name, to glorify my name, and you have to ask yourself, have you set your hearts to do that? Is your heart set on your job, on your relationships, on everything that you do? Is your heart set on honoring his name? In other words, giving glory to his name. Are you thinking less about how this affects you? More about how it affects you, or are you thinking about how it affects the Lord and how it makes him look to others? You need, I need, we need to set our hearts to honor God, to kabod, to give him glory, splendor, honor, because he's given us life, breath. Does that make sense, kiddos? Oh, but Pastor, this is way more. I just want to say a prayer, and I want the promise, and I don't want the action, the response. That's a little, well, if you want the reward, you got to do it. It says, if you do not listen, and if you do not set your heart to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse upon you. Yeek! It says, I will curse your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you have not set your hearts to honor me. A lot of people are teaching because they don't know any better that God's just, you know, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Well, there's also correction and discipline and chastisement. There's even rebuke. But God has said, even in Deuteronomy 30:19-20, he says, I have set before you, again, you priests and priestesses, you know what I mean, right? I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, or choose what action you're going to take so that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. He's like, man, you're treating my offerings with contempt? That is not cool. It was a terrible thing that they were doing. They were looking good and coming to church and doing their religious activities. And God is like, you hypocritical people, liars, you're honoring me, the people, like Jesus said, or I says in Isaiah also, these people honor me with their lips, but their what is far from me? God always wants your hearts, the first fruits of your heart, always, always, always. I like this image too, because here's that handsome, good-looking, dressed to the nines dude. I can just see him up there at the front, or, you know, hallelujah, praise God, or in church, and you're talking to me? God, you're not talking to me, right? And I like that little nose, the shadow there. Wow. The little Pinocchio liar knows. God knows our hearts. People lie to themselves all the time. God, search me, know me, examine my heart, see if there's any wicked way within me. He keeps me on a short leash because that's where I need to be. And ultimately, that's where I want to be, although that's difficult sometimes. But he says, I will send a curse, and I've already cursed your blessings. Yes, I've already cursed them because you've not set your heart upon me. He goes on to say, look at verse 3. He says, because of you, I will rebuke, or some of your translations say, I will punish your descendants. Zoinks. What? Zoinkarama's there. Well, my Bible's falling apart here, so. Because of you, I will rebuke your descendants or your seed, those around you. I want you to know, and I want you to understand, I added this part, and so this part will either be very good. I added it at the last moment this morning. So if this next part is from the Lord, do you know what? It's going to be really cool. And if I added it at the last moment, and it was Darren, because it literally was the last moment, then you guys are going to spend 15 minutes going, well, he could have cut that out of the sermon. But because it wasn't totally clear to me, I'm going to go with it and trust the Lord. But I want you to understand that your sin, my sin, our sin, affects other people. Do you understand that? The leaven that spreads, if you will, if you know the biblical terms, right? In other words, if you think you're just sinning to yourself, right? Let me tell you, that is never, ever the case. The mom who comes home with the short temper and she's just letting it in to little Timmy. We don't have anybody named Timmy here, right? Okay. And to little Timmy and... Well, she just had a hard day. I mean, she's working for put food on the table and stuff. And so, but she unleashed on the kids. Shouldn't have. It was ungodly. Well, little Timmy's now, he's upset. And he's going to at his brother. And then they're going to be bickering. And then when dad gets home, now there's a whole big family squabble. And everybody, do you get the point? Well, I just had a bad day. And I all I did was, if there's a man looking at pornography, and this is what he does. You think, well, nobody knows I'm doing it. Well, first off, God knows. He sees everything, right? Or there's a woman looking at pornography, I should say. It could go either way, right? Do you honestly think that you can do that and it not affect you or affect the person that you're with or those around you? Of course it does, especially if you call yourself a believer. Your wife, why? I noticed that you're a little bit more angry lately. You're a little more short-tempered. I notice that you're a little, and it goes on and on. Maybe the wife, she doesn't think, why aren't you looking at me? She doesn't know what's going on. You're not looking at me the same way. Or the husband, why aren't you interested in that? Our sins affect, it's called the ripple effect. Okay? You never just sin. That was really good. Do that again. Okay, now I can't do it when I'm on call. That was really good. But it's like a drop in the water. If you've seen it like a flat lake, and it goes out. Your sin never just affects you. Never. So listen, we're going to talk about that real quickly. Here's the part. The power of leaven, okay? So I want you to understand and us to understand your sin when you gossip about somebody. You know, hey, you're young girls, young guys, you're gossiping about somebody. I'm just telling one person, okay? I'm just saying, let's just pray. It's only affecting one person. No, that one person. Look, I'm just angry. I'm going to tell this other person bad stuff. Well, that person is going to tell five other people. And those five other people are going to tell 10 other people. Listen, the enemy is using you. Listen, confess it. Go to the Lord. Repent of it. Okay? Because there's power in leaven, either in a good way or a bad way. Okay, so listen, here we go. First is the leaven of heaven. Okay, so turn with me real quickly, because I added this at the last second so you don't get a fancy slide for me. Just go to the right, Matthew 13:33. Okay, it's right in your Bibles from Malachi. Nice and easy for you. Okay, what you do either good and godly for the Lord or bad for the Lord has an effect on people or it infects people. Does that make sense? Either affects them in a positive, good, godly way, like somebody was saying, maybe it was Mark, encouraging them, blessing them, strengthening them, or it infects them in a negative way, an ungodly way. Matthew 13:33, if you're with me, it says, speaking of Jesus, he was telling a parable, and he said he told them still another parable. And he said the kingdom of heaven, and that's the rule and reign of Jesus Christ in our hearts, is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it was worked all the way through. And so that leaven from heaven can be good stuff. Listen, when you're thinking about what's true and godly and praiseworthy, you're speaking good things, godly things to folks instead of reacting in an emotion. You're not, oh, I can't believe they did that. Saying that little snarky remark that you're thinking, you're not taking those thoughts captive, but you're doing the opposite. You're speaking the word. You're speaking good things to people. You're encouraging them. Let me tell you, you're kneading in the leaven from heaven in that loaf, right? That good stuff, leaven is just yeast. Everybody knows that, right? Okay? So you're kneading that in the dough, and it's going through the whole thing. So when you have that big loaf of bread that breaks up, that yeast, that leaven from heaven is spread all the way through. And we're that body. That leaven from heaven is being kneaded in every time you do that in a good way, in a godly way, right? You are affecting other people. Now, in a bad way, you also can have the beastie yeasties. Then you're infecting others. Listen, the beastie yeastie, go with me to Luke chapter 12. Matthew, Mark, Luke. God's your father, Luke. Luke chapter 12. Got a laugh there, thank you. 12, 1 to 5. And as you turn in there, I'm just going to start reading in verse 1. It says, "Meanwhile, when the crowds of many thousands were gathered, so that they began trampling one another, Jesus began first to speak to his disciples, and he said, 'Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees.'" Here's the beastie yeastie. "Which is hypocrisy." Hypocrisy just means being an actor, fake, phony. "There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear in other rooms will be proclaimed from the rooftops." Listen, I'll just keep it there for time's sake. All those little things that you say, "I'm just saying it to my husband, I'm just saying it to my wife, I'm just saying it to my best friend," that stuff infects people. Listen, if you need a vent point, then make sure that they are strong and stable in the Lord. You just say, "Listen, I just need to vent." But your attitudes are either affecting others around you, and a godly attitudes, they're contagious, right? Isn't that true? And you have to ask yourself, is yours worth catching? Hey, Neely, do you have that microphone? Okay, who is it? Oh, Nehemiah, could you hand that microphone? No, you get the microphone, because people online, then they say, they yell at us. No, they don't yell, sorry. They just ask, go ahead.
So is venting bad?
Well, okay. Okay. Well, here's the thing. If you're venting frustration, I think you even have to be careful how you vent and to whom you vent to. I think those are things as Christians we need to, for example, I was a waiter before many years ago, and if Christians would come to the table, I'm listening to their conversations, right? And they're saying all this stuff in front of me. I remember sitting at a table another time at a party, and all these Christians, before I was saved, and all these Christians are talking about all this stuff. They're all ticked off at this one, that one. I thought, oh my goodness. I thought these Christians, they're just all bitter, nasty people, angry at this person, and judgmental jerks. All they did, and I think we can vent to someone, but you have to know who you vent to. Make sure that they are mature in the Lord, that that's not going to go anywhere. You can have a safe person, whoever that is, you know what I mean, for you, that you know that they are strong, stable in the Lord, where, for example, if I'll just use us as an example. If my wife and I got in a fight, first off, the first person she can go to or I can go to is the Lord. And it's the first one we should go to. Now, we can't go to each other because now we're in the middle of a fight, and that's who we normally would go to. Well, hopefully she'll reach out to a person. Let's just say, I'm just going to pick Natalie because she's sitting here. Okay, Natalie. Now, Natalie knows me and loves me. And she loves the Lord, more importantly. And she knows Lisa and loves Lisa. So she's going to listen to her vent. But she's going to go back and say, "You know, Lisa, I hear what you're saying, but let's remember, he's also like this. It's just the emotional of the moment. And God says that we're to be thinking upon good things and that we need to," and she's going to take her back to the Lord. That's a good, safe person. Does that make sense? Instead of, we want to vent to everybody, and that's dumb. Yes, microphone, would you pass it right to that lovely young lady right there? Thank you.
Even to family and friends, you have to be careful because you're going to forgive them, and they might hold a grudge.
Absolutely.
So,
Listen, I got four boys. If I do something to one of the boys, and I'm just so mad right now, and I'm telling it to their friend, he's a jerk, my dad is this, that. Let me tell you, I absolutely guarantee that girl, that guy is going to tell 5-10 other people. Now, they're not going to know that you were really mad at that point or seeing things in a different perspective or that they came and apologized or whatever the case may be. They're just going to remember that person is a jerk. What? I can't believe. You see what I'm saying? So we need to make sure that we're either affecting others and not infecting others, right? Either the leaven of heaven or the beastie yeastie. What are you doing? What are you kneading into the dough? Okay, good. You do both? That's honest. I appreciate honesty. God can deal with honesty, right? I think we can all do both at times, right? Well, then let this be a little call to your heart. To God maybe saying to you, I want you to put a little bit more of the leaven of heaven and get rid of some of that beastie yeastie. Amen? Okay, right about now I would ask Gary, Pastor Gary, hey, how long have I been teaching? But nobody has any idea. How long?
47 minutes.
You're kidding me. How is that possible? I got a lot to cover. Let's give me a few more minutes. Okay. All right, I'm going to skip that. Okay, you guys know a little leaven leavens through the whole lump, Galatians 5:9 says. And I will say this one quickly, though. But when it comes with that beastie yeastie, the Bible says in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 8, it says, I want you to get rid of all that old yeast, all that old sin, that selfish stuff, so that you may be a new unleavened batch without that sin, as you really are. For Christ, the Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep the festival, not with the old bread of leavened with malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what God wants us to be. Sincere, truthful folks before him. I literally have a lot. Do I continue or do I not?
Come on, go.
Okay, all right, just a little bit more. Listen, guys, listen, just a little bit more, okay? Okay, sorry, let me get back. Okay, he says in verse 3, wow, that's all I've done? He says, because of you, I will rebuke your descendants. Remember, these guys are supposed to be his priests, representing him to the people. So are you, for crying out loud. He's called you. Stop acting like a knucklehead. Stop speaking like a jerk. And I say this to me. I got a little mirror here. Stop acting like a spoiled little brat. I don't get my way. Right? Quit trying to make everybody like you at the sake of being ungodly. Stop it. Quit being lazy. Pick up the word. I say that in a loving way. You guys know, right? You hear the heart. For those of you who know, you're listening, just turn it. You're loved. He loves you. He's trying to correct us. Remember, don't despise the Lord's discipline like these guys did. They really did despise it. And he says, because of you, I rebuke your descendants. And he goes, this is a doozy. I will spread on your faces the offal from your festival sacrifices, and you will be carried off with it. Alrighty then. Well, just so you know, the Hebrew root word for offal is perish, and that means excrement, dung, poop. Back in all this was to be a picture of Jesus Christ. Okay, these sacrifices the priests were doing, right? Sacrificing the bulls or the lambs, right? But God had told them, listen, you priests, I want you, don't accept bad stuff or imperfect stuff, because he had a picture in mind of the spotless lamb that was to come, right? He wanted that picture to be there. And they were like, we'll just take anything. What else? Because we get a portion of it, you know. It was selfish reasons. And he was supposed to take, those priests were supposed to take the poop, the flesh part of it, outside to be destroyed, right? Now, this is interesting to me. This is a little kind of cool thing. Okay, so it says, again, this is supposed to be a picture of Jesus. And he says, I'm going to take, you say that my word and my sacrifices are garbage. You're not even, I'm going to take that flesh and that, I'm going to rub your noses in it. Listen, in the Old Testament, in Exodus 29:14, I don't know if you can see it. Can you hit the light, Chris? I don't want to say Pastor Chris, but thank you. But the flesh of the bull, talking about the offerings, but the flesh of the bull or the lamb and its skin and its dung, so the flesh and the dung, you shall burn outside the camp. It's a sin offering. So all that sin, the crap and the, if you will, and the flesh, I want you to take that out. And listen to this, and here's why. In the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 13, verses 11 to 12, it says, under the old system, the high priest brought the blood of the animals into the holy place as a sacrifice for sin. See, it's a sin offering, a sacrifice for sin. And the bodies, or the flesh of the animals, were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside of the gates to make his people holy by means of his own blood. The flesh was sacrificed, the dung was sacrificed outside the camp to represent that sin offering, right? And they weren't even doing that. He's like, you're not even going to do that? You're smearing my name and my reputation? Well, I'm going to take that stuff and smear it, and I'm going to dishonor you. That's what he's saying. Okay, you can hit it. He says, and you will know that I have sent this admonition, verse 4 says, so that my covenant with Levi may continue, says the Lord. Oh, Lord. Okay. Okay. I do have a lot more. I'm not going to get through it. I just got to receive that. So what I was doing, just in case you're wondering, why is there a big pause or at home? Why is he doing that? What I'm doing in my heart as I'm praying, I'm saying, Lord, I got a lot of stuff. Do I just keep going? Or do I just stop here? Because I'm struggling a bit. And I think that I need to stop. And we'll just pick up next Sunday where we left off. We have to make sure that we are not treating the Lord's offering with contempt. You're called. If you're saved, you're a royal priesthood. He has called you in the same manner. You know what's so funny when I'm making these? There's some unbelievable cool slides. And I do this all the time because I'm always running in late because I'm giving more. I want more and more and more stuff. And then you know what? So God's so funny. Almost every time I don't get done. Here I spent, you know, I almost never get done all that I want to get to. And I just have to let that go, and that's okay. But I think God would say to us, you know, are we listening? This is the warning for you. For me, are you setting your hearts to honor the Lord? Setting it in everything you do to honor him, to kabod, where it's given him glory and honor. Are you guarding your steps as you come to listen to the house of the Lord? Do you realize there's blessings and curses? If you do this, then I'm going to do this. And if you'll listen to me, God says, I'll give you more. I'm happy to do it. I want to give you more. I want you to be more of a blessing. I want you to be stronger, more stable. I want it to come out. I got a really cool slide later on. Overflowing, if you will. Right? But he also says, you know what? If you're not going to receive it, even what you got is going to be taken away. You're going to lose it. I don't want to lose nothing that the Lord gives me. He says in Proverbs to buy the truth and do not sell it. In other words, whatever you can to take in what Jesus has to offer, take it and never let it go. It is the most precious treasure you will ever have. When people see you, when they talk to you, they should know, yeah, you're George the computer guy, but more than that, you're George the Jesus guy first. You're Scott the administrator, but you're Scott the Christian first. You're Sue the purchasing agent, but you are a priest of the King first. Does that make sense? Everybody got that? I saw a hand up in the back, so would you run that back, please? And I just want to hear if anybody else has any closing comments before I close in prayer. I want to hear what you have to say. And we want to hear what you have to say. Oh, sorry, you probably might have to turn it on, I'm sure. Is it on, George, that mic? How to mic it? If not, just... If it's not on, just chocolate.
This teaching is very, very convicting and to me. And I know that the enemy has used me as early as this morning to do his work. So anyone that I have that he's worked through me, please forgive me. And one thing I'm afraid is that sometimes something as convicting as today's teaching, if in our minds we're thinking of someone else, you know, like, oh, I know somebody that does that. We're not seeing.
You're missing the whole point. Yeah.
That's dangerous. That means that there's something broken. That there's a connection.
Yes. It's okay. Doers of the word. Amen. Yes, that's a good one. Yes, and it's not a future slide, but it's still a good one. And you know what? What you said there, people often project. Have you ever heard that? They project kind of what they're doing wrong onto other people. Listen, and I watch it all the time, especially sometimes like with immature Christians, and they're always Look, the biggest thing is, you know what? Ask the Lord, look at your own issues. Pull the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to help remove that little speck from other people's eyes. And you'll do it with the right heart. See, all this was said, remember in the beginning of this, if you missed the chapters, the first, it all, God started with, I love you guys. I love you with an everlasting love. I'm demonstrating it. He started with this. So even through all these disciplines, and he's still begging, listen, if you'll listen to me. I think of that for our country. If you'll listen, I will do this. Now listen, regardless of what way everybody goes, you have a choice. I would encourage you to come together as a body under the banner of the Lord. Not Pastor Darren, not Home Fellowship Church, not any denomination, not Republican, Democrat. We come together as Christians and say, I want, Lord, will you please help me to set it in my heart to honor you, to glorify you, and wherever I go, where it is set in stone. Does that make sense? All for the glory of God who gives us life and breath and everything we have anyways. Sometimes we're blessed so much that we don't realize it when it's taken away. There's a lot of people missing here. I don't like that. They're at home. I'm not Please don't think I'm guilting anyone, you folks watching at home. But sometimes we could take even for granted meeting together. What if we weren't allowed to meet together? Would you really, maybe, hopefully it'd make a difference. What if you weren't able to get this word taught rightly? Would that make a difference? Do you see what I'm saying? We're so blessed and we don't even realize it. Thank the Lord today with me. Can we do that? Let's stop and let's pray and let's give thanks. Lord, we thank you for all your blessings, Lord. We thank you even for your loving correction, Lord. We thank you for how you even discipline us, Lord, like a good father disciplines his kids. Lord, you're a good dad. You're our Abba Father who loves us, who gave himself up for us, Lord God. Thank you for that, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would remind us as priests, Lord, that you have given us the same high calling, Lord God, even back then, to bring your word, as we're going to see in this upcoming verses, Lord, next week, Lord, to bring your word, to bring your righteousness, to bring that to people, others around us, Lord God, to glorify your name, your heart, your word, your Holy Spirit to others in a way that makes a change and affects others instead of infects others, Lord. So help us to do that, all to the glory and honor of your name, Jesus. And all God's people at home and here said together, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you guys. Have a good week in Jesus' name. And we'll look forward to seeing you next Sunday.